Blog Talk Radio.
She says no one in her family loves her. She says her friends she can't trust because they're snakes. She says I'm the only one who loves her. And she says she loves me. She says she loves me. So she clings to me even when I don't want to be bothered. She clings to me. She says she loves me. Like when I wake up in the morning, she's sitting on the edge of the bed with my plate of food ready to feed me. She says she needs me. She says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. Like when I'm getting out the shower, she's standing there with the towel wanting to dry me off. She says she loves me. And I don't know love because I was raised in an orphanage where I had no family and the bees around me, all they wanted to do was get away. But she says she loves me. And when she's looking in my eyes and she's telling me she loves me, I feel something that I can't explain, that I cannot name, so I say that it's love. Because she says she loves me. She says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. All I want sometimes is some peace, just to be by myself. But she's always there. She's always on my heels. I cannot even feel my own body without her touching me, asking me, do she want me to make love to her? She says she loves me. And sometimes I lose control and I hit her. And I hit her. But she forgives me because she says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone. And at times when I feel in the mood to talk or something's on my mind, she listens. Sometimes she gives advice. She says when I give her a cue. She says she loves me. Even when I'm mad as hell, she's standing there trying to calm me down, trying to ease my pain, because she says I am her man. She says she loves me. Even when the neighbors call the cops, she's telling them, no, stop. I fell in the shower. I walked into a cabinet. I tripped and hurt myself. She says she loves me. Even when her mother tells her to get a restraining order, she tells her mother that I didn't do nothing wrong. She tells her mother that she was wrong. Because she is afraid to admit that I am evil. If she admits, she will have to admit that I hurt her. And she will have to admit that she's made another mistake. Like the kids that she loved, but by four different men. But she says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. And when I lost my job, times are already hard trying to feed a family of six. I hate that when I walk in a house, all I want to be is left alone. But she's on my heels telling me, what is wrong? Do we need to talk? But we gon' be able to carry on. I tell her I lost my job. Give me some space. She says she loves me. Even when I try to walk away, she's behind me. I walk in the room and I try to close the door. But she holds it. And I lose control and I beat her, and I beat her. I can hear her nose break. I can see her face. I can see her face. I can see the tears. I have seen the black eyes. I have seen her cry, but I hit her. So I try to walk away, but she keeps on following me. So I hit her again and I hit her again into the living room. And I can feel her bones and her face crack. Because when I hit her, I never hold back. She says she loves me as I beat her into the hall and on into the streets. She's telling me, crying, screaming, baby, stop. And she loves me. But I am out of control and I don't even know that I keep on hitting her. And when she's hit the ground, my feet, they start to pound. And I don't even stop. She says she loves me. And I don't even know when her body starts to convulse. She says she loves me. And as she lays there dying, I only stop because now that I'm crying, I'm not even aware that she's hurt. But I look at my hands and they're swollen and bleeding. And I may have even broke my knuckle. But when I look at her on the ground and see that this is wrong, something ain't right, she ain't breathing right. And I kneel beside her. I wish I can get inside her and heal all the pain that I've caused. But I know that this is my fault. And before her last breath, she looked at me. She tried to reach for me, but she was so weak. But she managed to say she loves me. She said she loves me. And she loves me until death does us a part. In 2004, 47 pregnant women were beaten, stabbed, shot, smothered, driven off a cliff. And the alleged suspect was their ex-boyfriends, boyfriends, husbands. Ladies, if you're being hurt, you got to get out that relationship before this story ends up being your story. She says she loves me.
Good evening, everyone. This is Delicious Talk, and I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was a powerful piece by Lamont Carey. You can purchase that from his CD titled Imagine. You can go to his website. That's LamontCarey.com, LamontEntertainment.com. I'm sorry, LaCareyEntertainment.com. Today's show is going to be a very powerful show. It's about abusive relationships, and I have my special guest co-host, Mariam Mimi Jacobs. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Gail. Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you, and yourself. How are you?
I'm marvelous. That was a powerful, powerful piece that Lamont did. Wow.
Yes, yes, it was. And it speaks volumes as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that he said in it as far as the young lady, you know, she had a case of low self-esteem, so to speak.
Definitely.
So, yeah. And we're going to be touching those bases as well tonight, different forms of being in an abusive relationship. First of all, Mary, you want to tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm Mariam Mimi Jacobs, and I am a survivor, first and foremost. You know, I've had a difficult life. I've had abusive relationships, abusive marriages. I know all about abuse on many different levels. I've written about it. I'm an author. I'm a poet, so I've done poetry on the subject. And I've helped to empower other women by showing them that abuse comes in so many forms, and it's not always physical. I'm grateful to be on the show tonight, Gail, to see what we can do to help open some eyes there may be some young woman out there right now who's going through some form of abuse in her relationship, but she doesn't know that it's abuse. But maybe she'll hear something tonight that'll help her. Great idea for your show topic.
Mm-hmm. Right, because some people are in abusive relationships and they really don't realize that they are abusive until it's too late. You know, sometimes they have to, just go through the whole gamut of being abused physically, mentally, verbally, sexually, and, you know, then depending on how they really feel after all that before they pick themselves up, because there's still women who are just in abusive relationships from the beginning to the end. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. We even have men who, you know, are in abusive relationships, but, it's sad for anybody to be in an abusive relationship, because if you, the first signs that you see, any red flags go up, you need to get out. You know, but I know it's easier said than done, because I myself was in an abusive relationship, and I stayed simply because, well, everybody has their reasons, and I had my reasons for staying in the abusive relationship that I was in as well. But eventually I got out, and when I was standing back looking at it, you know, it boggled my mind to, you know, even when I asked myself, why did I stay? You know? So, you know, everybody has their reasons for things that they do. And I don't put anybody down for what they do. But when you see a red flag or whatever, you need to take heed and get out or get some type of help or something, because a lot of women were killed in abusive relationships or maimed or, you know, just disfigured and burnt up. And, you know, it's sad that when it gets to that point, you know, so we need to sort of like, you know, if we can just save one person, that's a good thing, you know, because we can't save the world. But if one person, you know, can take something away from this show tonight, you know, I really, you know, I feel good about that.
Absolutely, definitely. You know, there are times where a young woman may be dating a kid in high school, say, and the kid in high school may slap her across her face and exhibit some anger toward her. And then moments later, he may say, I'm sorry, I'll never see you again, and she'll stay with him. But little does she know that that's the first time. That's the red flag that she needed to see, get away from him right then and there.
Right.
Sadly, a lot of young girls take that early abuse and they stay in the relationship even as it escalates and gets much worse. One slap may turn into a punch, a shove down the stairs, anything even worse than that. And before she knows it, she thinks she's so in love with him that she doesn't know how to get out. She doesn't want to leave. She may think that she deserves whatever she's getting from this guy, even if it's violence and abuse. So, yeah, those red flags, that's so important early on to know when to get out.
Right, right. The abusive relationship that I was in, it started off being verbal, then it escalated to being physical, you know, so there are, you know, different types of abuse that can escalate to, you know, further abuse. So, you know, if someone's constantly hollering at you, putting you down, you know, the next thing you can look for maybe is, you know, the hands-on. So, you know, if somebody's constantly calling you out of your name or, you know, saying you're ugly and, you know, not appreciating you, then maybe, you know, you need to just leave at that point. Don't wait for it to get physical, because those are signs that can lead up to it being physical. You know,
absolutely.
So you need to, right, you need to have your eyes open, your ears open, and, you know, listen to your inner voice. You know, always listen to your inner voice, because for some reason I'm finding that when your inner voice is telling you something for a reason.
Definitely. That was a very good cues that you're giving out that right there. A lot of times we don't listen to our inner voices, and it is really important to begin to hear what's being said and to stop and take heed, because many times we'll overlook what we think we hear because we don't want to hear it.
Right.
And if you, like the Lamont said it so beautifully, from a man's perspective, from the abused perspective. And I like that because in many cases, the woman doesn't really know why the man is abusing her. She doesn't know what he's going through. So from listening to that piece and hearing the man's perspective, not knowing how to show love because he perhaps was raised in a orphanage or foster care system,
right, or lost his job, or
different
things like that.
Well, and so the woman may be smothering him without realizing it, because in her mind she thinks she's showing him love, but in his mind it's too much.
She's
in his space. Yeah, that's a powerful piece. I commend Lamont for that one, definitely.
Right, and I received an email from a young lady. She wrote, "Hello, Delicious Talk. It was hard to write this letter, but I figured I needed advice from someone not related to me. I've been seeing an older man for about 5 months now. I met him in August, and he told me his wife had died in July, but they were separated for 2 years when she died. I'm 33, and he is 63. He has not told any of his grown kids that we've been seeing each other. Whenever I ask him about marriage or more serious relationship, he starts cursing and screaming at me. I need to know, should I kick him to the curb or give him more time? Misconfused." Now, I'm going to leave this up, too, because I have quite a few phone calls. I'm going to bring these people in and ask them what they would do.
Okay.
Caller 111, you're on the line. Caller 111. Okay. My switchboard isn't working. Okay. Caller 111, you're on the line. Okay, that's not answering. Okay, we'll go to this one. Black Hebrew 88, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
I used to say to my wife. Is that
okay? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I used to say to my wife.
I'm having difficulties with the phone. What did you say?
A soldering iron in my wife's vagina.
Mimi, can you hear him?
No, it's a very bad connection.
Hello?
Is it possible for you to call back? I believe he said he'll call back here.
Oh, okay, because he was a bad connection. Okay. I have another call at 111. Hello?
Yeah, hello? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yeah, all right. Well, I want to tell you that I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but I was in an abusive relationship myself. My woman was abusive, and this is kind of an awkward story. It's hard for me to tell people this.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I would, most of her days she would stay in the kitchen, and she would make sandwiches. And when I would come home, what she would do is she would put something in my food. She would, spike it so I get really, really tired and dizzy. And then she'd strap me to a chair. She would take all my clothes off, and she would put a strap on, and she would rape me.
Your wife did that?
Yeah. She did it continually. This was about 3 months ago.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, did you report it, or you're not still with her, are you? Are you still with her?
No, I moved. I had to move out of state. I couldn't report her though because I knew she would come after me if I did that.
Wow. Sorry to hear that. Did you have any comments as far as the letter from Ms. Confused?
Basically, nigger, 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 nigger.
Wow. That was a crazo. Wow, well, if his wife was doing that to him, I could understand it.
I think he made that whole story up.
Yeah.
A child was nothing better to do on a Friday evening.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that makes him feel good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see this next caller. Caller 650.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say during that recording you guys were playing earlier, did he make that over a sandwich debate with his wife? Because it sounds familiar, like I heard it somewhere before.
Well, I really don't know.
Because I was like masturbating to it because it gave me a hard-on.
God. Where do you find these people, Gail?
I don't know. I guess it's a Saturday night with nothing for anybody to do. Okay, let's... I think what we can do, though, I think we can take a little musical break. How about that?
Yes, that would be fine.
Yeah, okay, let me find something here. Okay. Thank you. I love that piece. That's by Bonnie Pratt. I Can't Make You Love Me.
Yeah, I like that too.
Mhm. Yeah. So, back to the maybe you and I can dissect this letter, Mimi. What do you think? First of all, she wanted to go to somebody outside her family, so it seems like her family mate was telling her not to, you know, to leave this man. What do you think?
Well, my initial thought is that there's several things going on early on in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's with him 5 months, yet she's already talking about marriage or a serious relationship that he's probably not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
She also mentioned that the month that she met him was just a month after his wife died. But she was clear to point out that he hadn't been with the wife for 2 years. They were separated. But when she died, that doesn't mean that this man is not going to grieve for this woman, who was obviously in his life for a long time. They have grown up children.
Right.
So young lady probably needs to take a step back and look at all the variables that's involved. And then, of course, there's some abuse going on because she's only been with him 5 months, yet he's already screaming at her and cursing
right.
at her. To me, that's a red flag.
Right.
Talk to her like that in an early stage of a relationship. What might he do if they stay together even longer? And
true.
How much does she really know about this man? And why was he separated for 2 years from his wife?
Right.
No. Yeah, so I think there's some abuse going on that she's not ready to look at. My advice to the young lady would be to sit back and really do some reflection and write down the pros and cons of the relationship. And then if the cons outweigh the pros, which in my opinion they do, take a step away. Give yourself
yeah.
a break. You know, build up your self-esteem, and I'm sure there's somebody out there much better for you. 30-year age gap, that's huge. That's
yeah.
really another piece there. Because some men from the old school believe in beating their women or cursing them out or treating them
right.
all kinds.
Right.
No. Wow. What do you think, Gail?
Well, then I was also, because she really didn't get in depth with this letter, but I'm just wondering, because he could have been even lying, you know, from the beginning, telling her that he lost his wife, and she met him in August, and he's telling her that his wife is dead in July, and, you know, not taking her around to meet his grown kids. That may have been the reason why, you know, his wife could have still been alive. He could have still even been with her, but, you know, like I said, she didn't really put, you know, going in depth of the fact of, you know, where were they meeting at and, you know, things that they did together and, you know, stuff like that. Because if he never took her to his place, then, you know, a red flag should go up right there. You know, especially if he's single, you know, his wife's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you
yeah.
know. Right, and then the fact that he's, there's a 30-year age difference. He's basically... probably when they hooked up, he probably was full of this oats at the, you know, in the beginning of the little relationship or whatever was going on between them. And then he may have just gotten to the point where she became clingy because she says she asked him about marriage or a serious relationship. And they've only been in the relationship for 5 months. You know, why are you trying to marry a man who has been separated from his wife the last 2 years? You know, before she died, do a little bit of investigation of, you know, what happened, you know, why was they separated? So, you know, just 2 years before she died, he's in his 60s, you know, getting a divorce, you know, separated from your wife. And, you know, she basically should have done a little bit more investigation, you know, on this guy to find out, you know, different things.
I agree. That's right. Definitely. Well, that's an interesting email, and I hope that the young woman has tuned in tonight to get the feedback, and
right.
perhaps some other young people will call in with their feedback, but She needs to probably seek counseling also. She can talk to, if she doesn't want to go to her family, she could actually talk to an older neighbor woman who may be in the man's generation and find out, is it a generational thing? If there's sex involved, which I'm sure there is, she may need to talk about that or hold back until she gets the answers that she needs. Because it sounds like she didn't set her parameters very, very well. She just jumped in head first, probably because an old man is attracted to her. That might have been a beautiful thing for her. But definitely what scares me is the abusive language. That's not good.
Because that basically sometimes it leads to the physical abuse. Well, we have a couple of callers on the line. I'd like to say to the callers, if you're going to call in with, is this a prank call or anything like that? I'm not really up for prank calls tonight, so I'm going to take this call, 615.
Hi.
615. Hello.
Yeah, hi there. Well, I never really talked to anybody about this yet, but not too long ago. Okay, this is kind of hard to say, but not too long ago, I was hanging out with my girlfriend, right? And like we were just having this argument about like.
I don't trust that caller. I don't trust that one. Okay. Caller 111.
Nigger. Oh no. Wow, you are targeted tonight. Those pranks.
Right. I really hate to say this to people who are wanting to call in. I'm not going to take any more calls tonight because, you know, it's really crazy how people have nothing to do except for to, you know, come on Blog Talk and act like idiots.
What?
You know.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really a shame.
Yeah, that's true. Those people need to go on one of the comedy stations. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of Blog Talk shows out there looking for comedians. But this is a very subject. You know, the subject that you brought up tonight is extremely important. It's an extremely serious one. You know, women die every year at the hands of their husbands and boyfriends and ex-boyfriends and ex-husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true that some men are abused by their girlfriends or wives, and it's not spoken about as much, but it does happen. And so people need to know what warning signs to look for. And, you know, one of the things that I will say is that not all abuse shows on our skin. It could be a mental abuse. The person could be tormenting their partner by, like you said earlier, calling them names, cursing at them, demanding sex from them. And although sex is usually pleasurable, if it's not something that both parties want, it borders on abuse, and it's sexual abuse. That's another one that some people just aren't aware that that's actually abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You have domestic violence, of course. Most people think of black eyes and punches and welts and bruises that show on the outside. But when it's deep psychological abuse at the hands of someone who you love, you take it all in, and it does something to your self-esteem. It just beats you down to a pulp. And then, you know, after a while, you feel like you are so unworthy of anything better. So for those women and men out there, I suggest you definitely first make your escape plan and get away. Second, seek counseling and support of people who can love you until you can learn to love yourself. Because obviously, if you stay in a relationship with an abuser, at some point you have stopped loving yourself.
That's so true.
Yeah, you have to rebuild your self-esteem and rebuild your self-worth and your self-respect.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You really can't. So if you don't love yourself, don't, you know, it's really no need in you trying to love anybody else because there's no love there. You know, you really have to love yourself before loving anybody else.
Exactly. And relationships really should be about love and joy and bliss, happiness. Not to say it's going to be that way all the time, because that's unrealistic. However,
right.
The overall percentage of marriages that last a long time have joy in them, not pain. They have happiness, not sadness. And
right.
They have blissful moments, not ridiculously painful moments of trauma and drama. And so if you're in a relationship today where you can look back on it and say, I had more painful, sad years than I had joyful, blissful years, it may be time for you to take a step back and get out of it. You know, sometimes people remain in a relationship out of convenience or because of they may not have the financial means to step out on their own, but then you have to make a plan. And there are also agencies out there that are willing to help set you up until you can stand on your own 2 feet again.
Right.
So definitely, definitely take stock of your relationships and make the right choices and what to do.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. And
okay.
We'll be right back, okay?
Thank you, Gail.
Okay.
And I am telling you, tell my girl to leave. You're the best man I'll ever know. That's the way I can ever go. No, 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 no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living
That was Jennifer Holliday. I'm not going. I love that song as well. Jennifer Holliday.
A powerhouse, yes.
Yeah, yeah, she'd done that originally before Jennifer Hudson. It was Jennifer Holliday's song, but yeah, that's a very powerful piece. I'm not going anywhere. You're gonna love me. Yeah, but this young lady, Miss Confused, she really needs to do some evaluation of herself as well, because it seems like she's, there's nothing wrong with going with an older man or an older woman or whatever, but she may have some issues going on as well. You know, she may have some low self-esteem, and, you know, he may have given her the eye or something, and, you know, because she gets right in and she asks him after 5 months about a serious relationship and marriage.
Yeah, I think I think that was a little premature.
Yeah.
But then the way he handled it was a little over the top also. What did he have so much against marriage and a serious relationship that he had to curse her out? You know what I mean? So he's obviously some issues there too.
Yeah. Most definitely. They're not a couple. They're not you know, she needs to just go on and, you know, if she prefers older men, she maybe need to seek out another older man or get a man in her age range. Because definitely, Miss Confused, you need to kick him to the curb and, you know, pick yourself up, go on about your business, and, you know, just forget about him. She wants to know if she needs to give him more time. More time for what?
No, I don't think she needs to give him any more time at all.
She gave him five months. That was enough. You know, because the abuse was beginning.
Definitely. And you know what? The part about him not introducing her to his grown children, that could be for many reasons. Like you said earlier, maybe he is still married and that's just a line and he's playing a dangerous game. Maybe
mm-hmm.
he plays that game with lots of young women and she's just one of many.
Right.
That's what you might want to think about. And also, if he has grown children and she's 33 and he's 30 years older, let's imagine that his oldest child is 30, let's just say. So his oldest child is too close to her age, and the father might feel that it's awkward to introduce his grown children to a woman that's as young as his children are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. But then they need to either deal with that issue or just break up altogether, because if he hasn't introduced them to her at this point, and it's 5 months in, when is the right time? Their age difference is never going to change, you see? So there's a lot for her to definitely think about. I hope we've been able to shed a little light on it for her.
Right. I just hope so, too. You know, because, it's a sad little note. You know, it's really sad that she's so fixated on this 63-year-old man who, you know, is telling her that his wife is dead and not, you know, introducing her to his family. But, you know, they both have issues. And Confused, leave this man alone.
And you know what? The fact that she had to write a note like this just says so much about what's going on. You know,
the
fact that she can't resolve her own issues. She may be not in the right space to be in a serious long-term relationship. If she can't even handle this kind of situation, that she has to seek advice from people outside of her immediate circle. That's very interesting, too.
Right. Wow. Well, that's, you know, everybody has issues, but, you know, she did try to reach out, so that's a start for her right there. She did you know, reach out. And, you know, if she took the advice or if she's not going to take it, then, you know, everybody did whatever they could, because, like, she obviously went to her relatives and they weren't giving her what she wanted to hear. And if you're out there listening, Miss Confused, hopefully, you know, you'll, you know, take the advice that that you're hearing. Not to say that you have to, but, you know, just be kind to yourself.
Exactly. And you know, the bottom line is we need to be kind to ourselves. And if we're not kind to ourselves, then how can we expect other people to be? If we don't respect ourselves, how do we expect other people to respect us?
That's true.
If we have such a low self-image, how do we expect other people to see us as anything greater than what we see ourselves? So this man is probably giving her the little bit of respect that he's getting from her. She has no self-respect. Her self-esteem is in the toilet, and that's exactly how he's treating her. So I say, you are nobody's doormat, girl. Get up, out, and move on.
Yep. That's what she needs to do, because, you know, just so many young women are putting themselves in these positions where they, you know, they get abused, because it's not like, you know, she's playing a part in it as well. You know, and if you have the power to get up and leave, then that's what you need to do. But if you're going to hang in there and, you know, try to change somebody or try to make them love you, you know, it's, you know, you have to look out for yourself. You know, and it's easier said than done. But trust me, when you do it and you look back on it, you're going to say, wow. You know, you're going to really feel proud of yourself. It's going to feel good. You're going to be, you know, beginning to live again. And, you know, somebody, it's somebody out there for everybody, but it's just the point of getting with that right one. You know, don't, you know, I hear some women say, well, I'd rather have a half a man not to have a man at all. Why? Why are you cutting yourself short?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
That's not good. Who wants a half a man? I can't have the whole man. I don't want it at all.
Well, some women aren't willing to be alone, quote unquote. They're not comfortable being with themselves. And again, those are some emotional issues that, you know, they may need some professional help on. They can join some sort of women's groups or a women's therapy session where they can bounce these things off of other women and hopefully get some responses that will trigger an action for them. Because if their self-esteem is so low that they don't want to be by themselves, that they have to go from man to man to man, even though the man is abusive or totally mysterious because he's not giving answers, I mean, what is that? What is that saying to her? It's saying that, first of all, she's attracting these types of men.
Right.
Figure out what is it about herself that she's attracting these types of men. And then she needs to ask herself, is this what I really want?
Right.
And I don't believe it is. I don't believe she wants a man who's going to be disrespectful in his verbiage to her. And I don't believe she wants a man who's not going to be forthcoming to his family about their relationship. And there's just so many things involved there. This woman and any woman or partners should be honest with one another. I think honesty is the foundation of all relationships. And if you don't have from the beginning, then you have some serious problems. Because if you don't have honesty, then how do you have trust? If you can't trust the person. So maybe there's some trust things going on. It's just so many things, Gail. Wow.
Yes, it is. But, you know,
you can go on and on about. Absolutely. You can go on and on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's just so much abuse out here today. And, you know, men as well as women. But it's more prevalent with women because, you know, we're the softer sex. You know, we don't go around, you know, beating up men or, you know, punching guys' eyes out and stuff like that. Not to say that women don't abuse their man, you know, may slap them and stuff like that. But, you know, a man is supposed to be a protector, a provider, you know, and look out for, you know, us queens.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They really should. And if, you know, and, you know, you have to respect each other as well. Because, you know, you can't be in a relationship and being disrespectful to your partner and then expect them to, you know, respect you. You have to give respect in order to receive respect. So if you want to be in a loving, you know, relationship, you have to be respectful, honest, truthful, you know, and kind and, you know, loving. That's, you know, the foundations of, you know, a good relationship. You don't go into a relationship because this person is good looking or this person has money or this person has good sex. And, you know, all the crazy reasons why you get into these relationships, those are reasons why they don't work. Because you eventually, that person's got money, their money might run out, their looks, they may, you know, anything can change your looks, somebody could throw a lie in your face or, you know. So if you don't go into a relationship with the love in your heart that you want to share with this person, then it's not even worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not even worth it. So we have about 5 minutes, and I think I'm going to wrap the show up a little early tonight. I want to thank the people who did show up tonight, and I, you know, apologize for those ignoramuses that came on. You know, everybody wants to be a clown, and they do have comedy shows on Blog Talk. My show is not a comedy show, so I don't know why they came on my show, but I appreciate everybody who did show up tonight. And you know, like I said, I'm going to cut it a little short. My next show is on the 22nd of January. That show is going to be, my guest co-host will be Master J, and that show is about undercover sisters. Also, on Saturdays, Mimi and I do a show. And our show this Saturday is going to be our anniversary show. So if there's anybody out there listening, you want to come to a big anniversary party, that's Saturday at 11 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/chocolate, C-H-A-K-L-E-T, -coffee-books. And that's 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 11 p.m. So if you guys want to come out and, you know, just celebrate with us, we've been on the air a year on that particular station. So, Mariam, I really do appreciate you coming on, being my guest co-host tonight.
Oh, it was fun. Thank you.
Right. It was fun, even in spite of the little crackpots that came on.
I think hecklers are good. They keep us on our toes.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So with that being said, I bid you a good night. I bid everybody else out there a good night. Thanks for stopping in until the 22nd. Good night. This is Delicious Talk.
Good night.
Good night.